The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Friday. Thank you for listening to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We got a great question from a listener, and we began to talk about this subject yesterday. We're going to continue today as we discuss the question, did Jesus pay our penalty for sin? I think you're going to be blessed by this discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. So let's get right to it. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin, Sean.
And hey, Bob Wilkin. In the last episode, we were answering a question about whether Jesus paid the penalty for sin or not. I mean, just to be clear, Jesus on the cross accomplished a lot of things. So
right.
Just to understand, this is a very specific question. Did he pay the penalty of sin? Did he take a penalty that was due to us and he took it instead as our substitute? That's the traditional evangelical view.
Yeah. Now,
and
you've
been rethinking that recently.
Right. Now, I didn't say something last time that I want to pick up before you get into your question,
yeah.
And that is, did Jesus deal with the death problem? The wages of sin is death? The answer is yes.
Well, that's part of my question.
But the answer is not that we don't experience the wages of sin in this life. The answer is the victory is coming. There's a day coming when death will be no more. Jesus has conquered death, right? 1 Corinthians 15, etc.
Right.
We're going to be raised from the dead. That's a conquering of death. But also, in the eternal state on the new earth, there will be no death.
Yeah.
So, did Jesus' death accomplish that? Yes. But if you're asking, did Jesus' death on the cross pay the penalty so that we're not going to die physically? The answer is no.
Okay, so that's very specific. Did Jesus pay the penalty such that we won't die physically? And that's obviously no. All of our experience shows everyone dies. Doesn't matter.
Unless the rapture occurs in our lifetime, we're going to die.
Up till that, everyone else dies.
Right. And I went in the last show and suggested that it's not just death, but it's all the consequences of sin still follow for the believer. In other words, if I walk in sin, I reap the consequences. Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap.
Yeah.
Now, he was looking in terms of the life to come, but that statement also applies in this life.
So basically, you know, if a Christian has too much to drink, drives a car, crashes into a tree, the cross doesn't take away those natural consequences.
Right.
And if you get arrested by the cops and your driver's license gets taken away and you get thrown into jail for a little while, Jesus's cross doesn't take away those consequences.
Right. The shed blood of Christ doesn't eliminate those consequences.
But now you have an idea, and I think maybe it's from Zane Hodges started it, or maybe Chafer started it, I don't know. This idea that even in your eternal destiny, you're not eternally lost as a penalty for sin.
That's right. Chafer, and I have a blog on this too, because someone challenged me and said, you've quoted Chafer many times as saying, because of the cross of Christ, the unbeliever doesn't have a sin problem, he has a son problem.
Yeah.
They said, can you tell me where he said that?
Yeah.
I went on Google Books. I looked under his systematic theology.
Yeah.
In volume 3, I believe it was volume 3, where he talks about soteriology, he does have many quotes like that. And he uses the expression.
Not exactly.
Not
like
exactly.
That.
He says, the sin problem, our sin problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he says, the solution to the sin problem is faith in Christ.
Right.
He doesn't specifically say those clever words, you don't have a sin problem, you have a son problem.
Yeah.
But I take it, either he said that in class, and that became repeated by the faculty.
Because you never had him as a student.
I was born the year he died.
You
However,
never heard it from him. But
I had faculty members who sat under him. John Walvoord and Howard Hendricks and Charles Ryrie, Donald Campbell.
Yeah.
All of those sat under him and heard him teach. And they would say things in class and in chapel. I think this is something I must have heard. But in any case, I found a whole bunch of places where the concept is found in Chafer.
Right. So I guess my question is, and I didn't read those passages, so I don't know. You tell me. What is the sin problem if it's not the penalty that's being taken away?
Yeah. According to
him.
What he's saying is that before the cross of Christ, or let's say without the cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ works backwards, too, so that Old Testament people could be born again even before the cross of Christ.
Okay.
But apart from the cross of Christ, no one could have everlasting life. Because we have a sin problem, and the sin problem separates us from God.
And what is the sin
and
problem?
The sin problem is we're spiritually dead, and if spiritually dead people die, they go to Sheol or Hades and ultimately the lake of fire.
But now you said in the last episode, we're not spiritually dead because of sin. We're just born that way.
And so what I would suggest is that we are born spiritually dead,
right,
lacking everlasting life.
Yeah.
It's not because of our own sin.
Yeah.
It's because of the fact that we're the children of Adam and Eve.
But now, did Tafer think it was because of sin?
I don't think so.
That was a result of sin?
Okay, let me give you an example. I was in class with Harold Honer, who was the head of the New Testament department when I was there. And I remember one day in class, he drew a picture of two pieces of paper with a big square and then a line down the middle. So he had two rectangles.
Yeah.
And on one he wrote sin, on the other he wrote righteousness. And he said, the reason why the unbeliever lacks God's life, lacks everlasting life, is these two things. Except, and he crossed out the page that said sin,
okay,
and he says, the blood of Christ takes away the sin problem.
Okay.
So there's no sin barrier between the unbeliever and everlasting life. What they now lack is the righteousness of God.
Uh-huh.
And they get the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
They don't have to deal with their own sin in order to get the righteousness of God imputed to them because of the cross. And I'm pretty sure that Honer got that from Chafer as well.
So,
or at least from one of the professors influenced by Chafer.
Now, it still sounds like that's a penalty issue. There's a penalty that's been removed. The penalty for sin was these bad things, and the blood of Jesus paid the penalty and took them away. Or does it work some other way?
Well, I don't know that there is any text in the New Testament that uses the word penalty, but coming back to RM, could we say that the concept is there? Probably.
Now, we were talking about Colossians, 2:14?
Not there.
14,
not so there.
Maybe not there, although there's forgiveness of sin involved, and so it sounds like there's a penalty or something implied there that you're forgiven of something, but maybe not.
Yeah.
You can be forgiven of something and still be punished, I suppose. Okay, so then what did Jesus do? Why is sin imputed to Jesus on the cross? You know, it's imputed to him. He becomes a curse for us. Isn't that him taking the penalty of sin?
Well, it does say, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What is that, 2 Corinthians 5:21?
Yeah.
So Jesus knew no sin personally, but he became sin for us.
Yeah.
So oftentimes he's called the Lamb of God or the sin bearer.
Yeah.
So he bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's even in, Isaiah 52 and 53?
And he's stricken, he's smitten by God and afflicted. It sure sounds like he's getting the penalty.
Well, he is getting some of the consequences for our sins. However, remember the article that I wrote, and you've spoken on this and written on this yourself, The Benefits of Christ's Death, Restricted and Unrestricted?
Yeah.
And what I suggested is there's quite a few benefits. Now, if you want to call some of those benefits the elimination of penalties, okay, but one of them is not that we aren't receiving in our bodies the consequences of our sins in this life.
We still are, sure.
Now, of course, if we're walking in fellowship with God, those are greatly restricted, and we don't fall under what Paul calls in Romans 1:18-32, the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we do reap consequences for our sinful behavior.
Yeah.
And so you're raising a good point, John. This is RM's, right? It's complicated. But I would like for each of you to study this. Be a Berean. What did Jesus' death on the cross accomplish? And I would suggest it made everybody savable. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But that no one is saved until they believe in him. And once they do, they start receiving some of the benefits. But the ongoing benefits require I walk in the light and I confess my sins in order to have ongoing cleansing. And so, yeah, I think this is a complicated subject.
It is, and we're just starting to talk about it. So there's all kinds of questions to kind of dig. I mean, I'm writing a book. I have been writing a book. And I don't know where I'm going to end up because I'm trying to look at all the biblical evidence. So I'm with you. I mean, even though this is like an evangelical shibboleth, you might say, Jesus takes the penalty in our place. And we're making very fine distinctions here that you don't often hear.
Here's what I'm saying. It's one thing to say Jesus died for us. Absolutely a biblical statement all through the New Testament. Even Isaiah 52 and 53, the Messiah dies for his people. Having said that, that's not the same as saying he removed the penalty for our sins. Hmm. You might be able to say he removed a penalty for our sins, one of many. And even if you do, you don't find the word penalty used that way in the New Testament. You would have to find the concept somewhere.
Right. We've been distinguishing, or maybe we should distinguish more, between penalty and consequence. Those are two kind of different things. Zane falling out of a tree is a consequence and hurting him.
But Zane, your son, not Zane
son,
Hodges.
My son.
Yeah.
But me pushing Zane out of a tree, that's a penalty.
That's for you.
They both hurt, but they are slightly different.
Unless you're teaching him how to swim and you push him from the tree
into the pool.
And then he's strong.
I've never pushed Zane out of a tree, by the way. That's
okay,
just
good. Thank you for acknowledging
the kingdom
that.
Mind. Don't call protective services on me. I've never done that.
Do you know that's how they used to teach people to swim? They'd throw them in the pool.
Out of a tree?
No, not out of a tree. They'd throw them in the deep end and go,
oh, yeah, classic.
Have fun.
I was just watching a video of a pelican, mother pelican, throwing her baby pelican out of a tree, and it was horrible. Maybe it was a stork. I'm not very good with birds, but I felt bad for
this ground?
Thing. It had these little nubs without even any feathers. And I was like, there's no way this thing is going to fly. What is that mother doing? I felt really bad.
And it went splat?
That. And you don't see it just goes flying off camera and she looks down. Don't do that with your kids.
I'm fairly sure the thing can handle it and get back up and
just bounces.
Go back to the nest.
It just bounces. All right. Well, Mr. Producer, you can probably cut all that or leave it in for the amusement of everyone who's listening. And we do appreciate you guys for listening. Send your questions to radio@faithalone.org and check out our regional conferences. You know, we're going to have a couple coming up. One is coming up in Florida and we'd love to see you there, meet you in person, and we'll
keep grace in focus.
And we'll keep grace in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about the difference between boasting and praising God. So join us for that. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.